The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. For halachic wills and estates, or other inyana Yerusha, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Tomorrow Shabbos, Taf Kuf Kaf Aleph. Today we're going to discuss the very wide-ranging topic of Amira L'Nochri, of the Issur D'Rabbanan of instructing a goy to do a melacha. Now this subject is a very big subject, and we obviously won't be able to cover all the halachas in a short shir, but we intend in Mitzvah Hashem to give the basic outline and the headlines of the halachas and the issues involved in this Issur of Amira L'Nochri. So first of all, in Gemara and Shabbos of Kuf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, we find a Mishnah which says, "Nochri shevol lachavos ein omelo kavei." A goy who sees a fire in a Jewish house, we don't tell him to put the fire out. We don't have to tell him not to put the fire out, but we can't instruct him to put the fire out. Now obviously, we're dealing in this case and in all the cases we're going to discuss today with halachos where there's no pikuach nefesh involved. There's no danger to life involved. Because if chas v'shalom is any danger to life, then all malachos are suspended, and not only can you ask a goy to do a malacha, but it's a mitzvah on a Jew to be mechal shabbos in order to save somebody's life. So we're not dealing in today's shiur with the situation of pikuach nefesh at all. So if there's a fire, there's no pikuach nefesh involved, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to tell a goy to put the fire out. Even though you don't do the malacha yourself, putting out the fire is a malacha min ha-Torah. And it's forbidden the Rabbanan to ask a goy to put the fire out as well. Amir la'akum is shvus. Shvus means an issur Rabbanan, particularly on Shabbos. Tosfos points out that the mitzvah of mechaber on Shabbos, in the case of putting out a fire to save the fire from spreading, is actually only also midrabbanan itself. It's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, because the issur of mechaber on Shabbos is only when you put out the flame in order to create charcoal. But if you put out the flame in order to stop it from spreading, it's not also min ha-Torah, it's only also midrabbanan. Since the Gemara here clearly forbids asking a goy to put out a fire, says Tosfos in our sugya, the Ramaswain, that it's clear from the Gemara that not only is it forbidden to ask a nochri to do a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, but it's also forbidden for him to do a malacha d'rabbanan on Shabbos as well. So shvus d'shvus, which means issur d'rabbanan of amir and nochri, even to do an issur d'rabbanan of a malacha d'rabbanan on Shabbos, is also forbidden. However, there are certain circumstances in which it's mutter to ask a goy to do a malacha on Shabbos. And we'll go very briefly through the main categories without going into all the details. Number one, the tzorech chole. If someone is chas v'shalom ill, it's permitted to ask a goy to do a malacha. And it's even permitted to ask a goy to do a malacha d'oraisa for an ill person. Again, we're not talking about an ill person in the matter of pikuach nefesh, because then it's permitted even for a Jew to do a malacha on Shabbos. We're talking here about a chole she'ein bo sakana, but nonetheless he's ill enough that he has to lie down in bed. Even though it's a chole she'ein bo sakana, it's mutter to ask a goy to do a malacha, even d'oraisa, if it's necessary to help this ill person. Extends the Shulchan Aruch even further. In Timon Shin Kaf Ches, Sifud Zayin, the Ramal says, it's permitted to ask a goy to cook food for a young child, for a kotan, if he's got nothing else to eat, even if the child is not ill, because every young child is considered to be a chole she'ein bo sakana. And therefore, if there's nothing else available for him to eat, and he has to have food cooked, it's mutter to ask a goy even to cook food on Shabbos, which is a malacha d'oraisa, for this kotan, because he's got a din of a chole she'ein bo sakana. Likewise, says the Shulchan Aruch, if it's very cold on Shabbos, it's permitted to ask a goy to light a fire, which is a malacha d'oraisa, for a young child, because it can be dangerous for the young child in the cold climate if there's no heat. And if it's extremely cold, then even an adult can ask a goy to light a fire, even if there's no young children around. Because everybody is considered a cholish emetzakona when it regards to freezing cold temperatures. So for a cholah or someone who's freezing cold, it's permitted to ask a goy to do even a malacha deraisa. Uniquely, Laman Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Chazal also were not gozer the Isra of Amir La'akum. And therefore, if a Jewish person wants to buy real estate property in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew, it's permitted to ask a goy to do a malacha d'oraisa to facilitate this sale. And therefore, you can ask a goy to write down the contract and record it in order to purchase land from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos. However, obviously it's forbidden for a Jew to do a malach on Shabbos, even among Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Now, what about a tzorich mitzvah? In order to facilitate a mitzvah, is it permitted to ask a goy to do a malach on Shabbos? So the malach is that to ask a goy to do a malach d'rabbanan on Shabbos, it's mutter. Shvus de shvus b'mokah mitzvah is permitted on Shabbos. However, to ask a goy to do a malacha d'oraisa, most poskim hold is forbidden. However, there is the opinion of the Bala Itur, quoted by the Ran, who is a Das Yochid, who says that for a mitzvah, it's even permitted to ask a goy to do a malacha d'oraisa. And therefore, if there's a Suda's mitzvah, or a chasana, or a bris milah, or something like that, and there's no candles there, according to the Balete, it would be permitted to ask a goy to light the candle on Shabbos because it's a tzorich mitzvah. Although most poskim might disagree with this, there are more passages halacha l'maisa that, and someone who wants to follow his opinion, you don't have to object and prevent him from following his opinion. However, if it's not b'mokum and tzorich goyim, says the Ramah, since Rebbe poskim argue with this, one should not rely on this heter. And therefore, b'mokum mitzvah, you can ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan for you, but you can't ask him to do a malacha d'oraisa, even though it's b'mokum and tzorich goyim. Now, what about the b'mokum hefsed? If someone's going to lose a lot of money, unless he can get a goy to do something for him on Shabbos, are you allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha? So this is again the machlokes of poskim. The Rivosh in Simshin Pei Daled points out that it's clear from our Gemara that you're not even allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan. Because Mechabe, as we pointed out, in our circumstances, there's only Melachah D'Rabbanan, because there's Melachah Shein Tzvich L'Gufa, and nonetheless, the Mishnah clearly says you're not allowed to ask a goy to put it out. So it's Shvus to Shvus, but Mokum Hefzud, and you're not allowed to do it, so says the Rivosh. However, the Rishonim who disagree, the Ran in one Teretz says that only in the case of Mechabe, which is a D'Rabbanan, did the Chazal say you're not allowed to ask a goy to do it on Shabbos for Mokum Hefzud? Because people are not all baki in the mitzvah, in the Isra of Mechaba, and some people, if you allow them to ask a goy to put it out, they will think that putting out a fire is not really a proper malacha. And therefore they didn't allow it. But in other cases of Hefzud, which didn't involve a malacha Mechaba, if it was only an Isra Drabbanon, then you would be allowed to ask a goy. So according to that opinion, Shmus to Shmus, but Mokum Hefzud Gonel, you are allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha Drabbanon. The Mogen Avraham in Shin Zayin, Sif Kotten Zayin, says that since it's a machlokes haposkim, merely the Mokum Hefzud Gonel, if it's a very, very significant loss, then it would be permitted to ask a goy to do an Isra Drabbanon to save this loss. However, if there's not a significant loss, then one should not be makel, and one should not ask a goy to do even a malacha d'rabbanan. And there are a couple of other circumstances in which case it's mutter to ask a goy to do a malacha on Shabbos. One of them is for tzar bale chayim, to prevent an animal or living creature from experiencing pain or distress, it's permitted to ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan, that's in the Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Hei Sifkot Ayin, and for covered abrios, it's also permitted. The Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Beis Sifkot Lamed Vav in the Shaar Tzion there mentions that the covered abrios is mutter to ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan. So if someone has a particularly unpleasant stain on their clothes and he has nothing else to wear, if it can be done removed in a way which is an Isra d'rabbanan, one can ask a goy to do so. Sefer Orchot Shabbos, the current base, Perikaf Gilel and Ha'ora Kuf Ayin Hei, raises the possibility that it might even be possible for Kovid Abrius to ask a boy to do a Malacha D'Oraisa. And indeed, there is a Chavis Yorah who does indicate that that would be the halacha. But certainly, and this is the Rabbanon, to ask a goy to do this Rabbanon, the man covered up with this is permitted. Now, those are the general rules about when it's permitted, when it's forbidden to ask a goy to do halacha on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Shin Zayin Sif Kafes, adds to the Issa, and says, not only are you forbidden to ask a goy to do halacha for you on Shabbos, but you can't even hint to a goy to do a malacha on Shabbos either. So there's a common misconception, Shaladei Remez, it's mutter to ask a goy to malacha. This is not correct, it's a mefrosh shulchanoch, and it's forbidden to hint to a goy to do a malacha on Shabbos. There are certain exceptions to that, and Mitzvah Hashem will discuss that in a couple of minutes. Now, in addition, there are certain, one of the exceptions to this is when there is a fire. Although our Mishnah says you're not allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha, even the Rabbanon to put out the fire, if there's no pikach nefesh. However, the Gemara says, in the case of a fire, you're allowed to hint to the goy to put it out by calling him to see the fire, or to, even by saying, Omar Rab Ami, but lake it you, Lema Khamachaba in a masjid. They were, Rabbanu and Matar used to say, whoever saves from this fire will not lose out. And when the goy hears that, he goes and puts out the fire and comes to ask for payment after Shabbos. So you're allowed to hint in the case of a fire to a goy to put out the fire. Shulchan Aruch is in Shin Lamadalat Tzif Kavav, adds that not only a fire, but any circumstance of sudden drastic damage, such as a wall falling down or something like that, it would be permitted, or a flood, a sudden huge flood, it would be permitted to hint to a goy that whoever saves our property from this damage will not lose out. And therefore, similarly in Simon Shin Zayin, if you test the Shulchan Aruch says Sfer, and if said it's Meshavas Al Yedei Geshomim or Davar Acher, if your merchandise is suddenly going to get destroyed by a dam or a rain or a flood from a river or something like that, you're allowed to call a Jew to call a non-Jew to look at the observe the situation, and you're even allowed to hint to him that he should help out by saying whoever helps will not lose out. You can't tell them directly to do it, but you're allowed to tell them to help out. So in this case, we find there's mutter to make a remez to a goy, but that's only if there's a sudden, drastic hefsed, then you're not allowed to tell him directly to do a melacha, and possibly not even a melacha drabbanon, as we mentioned earlier, but you are allowed to hint in this unique circumstance. Now, in the very next daf of Gomorrah, Shabbos daf kuf kaf beis of Adalef, we find a Mishnah which tells us another very big chumrah, a very big halacha chamura. And that is that if a goy lights a candle for himself, you are allowed to have benefit from it on Shabbos, but if a goy lights the candle specifically for a Jew, then the Jew is not allowed to have benefit from it, even if he didn't instruct the goy to light it. This is a new halacha, that if a goy does a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, the Jew is not allowed to derive any benefit from it. If the goy does it for himself as well, then you can, but if he does it exclusively for the Jew, even if you don't tell him to do it, you may not have any benefit from it. More than that, you're mechuyev to tell him to stop doing it if you can beforehand. So, says, as in Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that a non-Jew who lights a candle for a Jew, no Jew is allowed to benefit from this candle. And it does make a difference whether you instructed him, you didn't instruct him, you're going to pay him, you're not going to pay him. Since it was done for a Jew, he may not have any benefit for him on Shabbos. Unless it was lit for the goy himself or for a chayle, then it would be permitted to derive benefit from it. In addition, says the Shulchan Aruch, the fact that you're not allowed to derive benefit from it is only if you have no choice. For example, if you're you're in your own home and the goy comes in and lights a candle for you for your own exclusive to the Jew's benefit, although you're not allowed to derive any benefit from it, if you have no choice, you're allowed to stay in your house. Chazal did not say that you're mechuyev to leave your own premises in order to avoid having benefit from this light. But however, says the Mishnah Berurah there, you are mechuyev to tell the goy at the outset, do not light this candle. And if you can stop him from lighting it before he's done so, you're mechuyev to do so, and if he refuses to listen to you, you're mechuyev to drive him out of your house. So in other words, you're not allowed to, not only are you not allowed to instruct a goy to do a melacha for you, and not only, as we saw, are you not allowed to hint to a goy to do a melacha for you, unless the mokum to leka or something like that. Otherwise, you're not allowed to even hint. Even if you don't tell him at all to do the melacha, you have to make a machor and protest if he looks like he's going to do a melacha for you. And in the event that he does do a melacha for you, you're not allowed to have any benefit from it, unless the only way to not derive benefit will be to leave your home. In that case, you're not allowed to leave your own home. Otherwise, you're not allowed to derive any benefit from it whatsoever. There is, however, one extra hetter in this, and that's in Reish Ayin Vav Sif Dalet. If there's already a candle lit in your home, and the guy comes up into your home and lights another candle, then you are allowed to have benefit from it. Because since there's already a candle, and you could do your activities by the light of that candle anyway, by adding light, even if it improves the light in the room, then you're allowed to derive benefit from the extra light. So, to summarize at this stage, you're not allowed to ask a goy to the melacha on Shabbos unless in the circumstances we mentioned earlier. You're not even allowed to hint to a goy to do a melacha for you on Shabbos. Even if you don't say anything and he comes to do a melacha, you're mechuyev to protest. If he nonetheless goes ahead and does it for you, you're not allowed to have any benefit from that melacha, even if you didn't tell him to do the melacha, unless by not having benefit you'd have to leave your own home, or unless there was a candle lit anyway and he merely added to the light, even if you benefited from the extra light, you're allowed to benefit from it. Now, we have a Mishnah Berurah in Shin Zayin Sikkot Ayin Vav, who says something which Lechera raises a difficulty with everything we've said until now. He says there, quoting him a bit of wrong, that although you're not allowed to hint to a goy to do a melacha of Yom Shabbos, you are allowed to hint in an indirect way to for a goy to fix a light for you. In the example given there, a candle is burning, but it's got some soot on the wick, and therefore it's flickering, and it's not providing enough light. So it's the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Magen Avraham, you're allowed to hint to a goy and say something like, it's a bit dark in here, or this light is not lighting, it's not burning very well, in such a way, in an indirect hint. It's not a hint to tell him to do anything, but it's an indirect hint, a remes shemai de tzivui. And then, if the goy does it, you're allowed to benefit from the candlelight. Now this, l'chora, raises a difficulty with what we said till now. There's two separate issues here. One issue is the issa to instruct the goy, or even hint the goy to do melacha. And there's another issa that even in the event that he doesn't get an instruction, and he does it anyway, if he does it specifically for a Jew, you're not allowed to have benefit from it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in this case, you wouldn't be allowed to have benefit from it, because just like we find that there's already one candle lit, and he lights an extra candle, you are allowed to have benefit from it. So too, if this light was already, it was, although it was flickering, but it did provide some light, if you hint to the Goy Shemar al-Deder Tzivui, then he should light, he should fix this light by removing the soot, then there would be no problem of deriving benefit from it after the fact, because it's just like having the candle which is already there, but going adding an extra candle. However, raise a number of contemporary poskim an additional problem. True, there's no problem after the fact of having benefit from the light, because there was a light there already. But there's an additional issue of amir l'akud. You're not allowed to tell a goy to do melacha, or even hint for a goy to do melacha. And not only that, but if he looks like he's going to do the melacha, you have to protest and insist that he don't do it. So how can it be that on the one end we have the halacha, that if a goy comes into your house and the Mishnah Berurah says and he's going to put on a light, you're not allowed to let him, you have to protest and tell him not to. And yet on the other hand we have this Mishnah Berurah telling us that you can hint to remove the soot from the light. Although we're talking about where there was a light anyway, that lechera only helps you regarding the issue about after he's done it, when you can have benefit from it. But after he's done it, whether you hinted to him or whether he did it of his own accord, you're normally not allowed to have benefit, but if there was a candle there anyway, you are allowed to. But as far as the instruction is concerned, if you have to protest when he comes to do it of his own accord, surely you're not allowed to hint, even Shalai Peter Tzibli, that he should adjust the candle. So the Ma'arash Shabbos, or Moshe Yadler, suggests that the heter here is because removing the soot from the candle is not really a melacha, it's only a chumra ba'alma. We find the Pekida Eger, in a different place, explains the Mogen Avraham, who allows to hinge an Arpi Derech Tzivui regarding opening a letter, also because the issue there is only an issue of a Chumrah. And therefore would be permitted, but otherwise it would be forbidden. So in that case, as says the Ma'ara Shabbos, to summarize the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah according to the Ma'ara Shabbos, it's forbidden to ask the guy to do Malacha. It's forbidden to even hint for him to do Malacha. If he looks like he didn't do Malacha, even if he didn't tell him, you're mechuyev to protest. However, if it's only a chumra ba'amah, like removing the soot from a wig, that you're allowed to hint shelebe derech tzivui. Now we have an additional issue. Once the guy has done it, are you allowed to derive benefit from it? The halacha is that if he did it for you, even without you asking, only for you, you're not allowed to derive benefit, unless there was already a candle there and he merely improved it or added a candle. Or alternatively, if by not having benefit from him, you have to leave your own home that you're not mechuyev to do. So it says the Ma'ara Shabbos to explain all the various different halachas that we've mentioned till now. However, he raises a problem. In the Sefer Shmiras Shabbos Kilchosa for Rav Noivet Shlita, it seems to say not like that. Because when he brings down this halacha, they're allowed to hint shelobe derech tzivui to a goy to improve the light, he says not only are we allowed to ask him to remove the soot from the candle, we can actually ask him to light another candle as well. Now that lechera is already very difficult, because lighting another candle is not just a chumrah, that's a proper malacha. And like we said before, it's forbidden to ask a goy to do a malacha on Shabbos. It's forbidden even to hint for him to do a malacha, and it's even forbidden to allow him to do it even if he didn't instruct him, and he will have to protest. So we come back to the same question. How can we reconcile the fact that the Mishnah Berurah on one hand says he will have to protest if he's doing the malacha even of his own accord, and yet here you're allowed to ask him to put on another candle? So the Shmir Shabbos Filchotha Lekhari is very difficult. The Rav Moshe Yadlo, who raised this problem in the Ma'ar Shabbos, wrote a letter to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and asked him about this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman agreed with him. And he said, you're right, the whole heter is only to, he doesn't quite say what the heter is in the case of the candle when you're removing the soot, but he says, certainly you wouldn't be allowed to ask him to do an additional offer, even if you already have a candle lit, because that issue of having a candle already lit only helps you after the fact that it's mutter to derive benefit from the fact that they're going to the malacha for you, because there's already a candle lit. But to ask you to do it in the first place, you're not allowed to, just like we see you're not allowed to let him light a candle for you, and he comes to light a candle, you're mechuyev to protest. However, the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchosa was republished a couple of years ago in a brand new edition, and there the Rav Noivet Shlita himself discusses this very point, and he notes that the Rav Shlomo Zalman says not like this, but he lechura says that it would be mutter to do such a thing, and he explains why. He says they're not two separate issues. The Ma'ara Shabbos and Rav Shlomo Zalman look at it as two separate issues. There's the issue of are you allowed to hint or ask him to do the malacha, and there's another issue of after the fact once he's done it, and they split it into two. You're not allowed to ask him to do it. You're not even allowed to ask him to. You're not even allowed to hint to him to do it. And even if he doesn't, you're only called him to protest, unless what you're hinting at is only a chumrah ba'amah to remove the soot, and that you're allowed to do the remesh shel ederech tzivui. There's another issue entirely of a goy does the malacha for you. Are you allowed to benefit from it? And the answer is you're not, even if he did it of his own accord, unless it would mean leaving the house, or unless there was a candle lit already. So Rav Noivet, know the two things are connected. Just as much as it's mutter to use the light after the fact, if he lit it by himself, if there's already one candle, that's also a reason to be mutter hinting shelobe derech tzivui to light another candle as well. And that's the explanation of the steer in the Mishnah Berurah, says Rav Noivet. On the one hand, if a guy comes and does a malacha for you, you're mechuyev to protest, even if he's doing it of his own accord. On the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to ask him to remove the soot if you do a hint shelobe derech tzivui, not like the other post can learn because it's only a chumrah ba'alma. You could even hint to him to light another candle. The heter is because there's already a candle lit, and he's only adding to the light, and just like we find that that's enough of a reason to allow you to use the light after the fact if the goy does it for you, it's enough of a reason even in the first place not to instruct him directly, but at least to be permitted to hint shelobe derech tzivui to light an additional candle. And it's interesting that it would appear from a Chumrah or a Moshe Feinstein that he also takes a Rav Noivet's approach. In English Moshe, Yeridei Chelik Gimel Siman Mem Zayin, an Oiz Beis, he was asked an interesting shaila. Someone asked him, are you allowed to ask a goy, are you allowed to hint to a goy that is very hot in the room in order that the goy should realize and put on an air conditioning system? And the person who asked the question said, just like we find that you would hint, the Mishnah Berurah says, Shalom Adair Tzibu, to a goy that is very, the light is not lighting very well, and in order that the goy should, from his own accord, go and light, remove the soot from the wick. So too, says the questioner who asked the question to Moshe Feinstein, in this situation, the person sitting in the room, and he could continue sitting in the room, so the goy, by turning on the air conditioning, has only improved the situation rather than created a new situation. So Moshe Feinstein said, no, it's clearly not comparable. In the case of the light, there's already a light and it's improving on the light. But we don't say that if there's no light at all, you can hint Shalom Adair Tzibu for the goy to turn on the light. Why don't we say, I'm sitting in the room, I'm anyway sitting in the dark, he's just improving the situation by turning on the light. Says Rav Moshe, clearly we don't say that. Why not? Because sitting in the dark and sitting in the light is two different things. If you already have one light, you can improve the light by taking off the soot, says Rav Moshe. That you're allowed to hint to the goy Shalom Adair Tzibu to do. Because if you're adding an additional source of light and nothing more than that. But if there's no light at all, then clearly you can't even hint to him, Shalom Adair Tzibu, to turn on the light. Similarly, presumably, if the air conditioner was on already, to hint to him to turn up the air conditioning might come into consideration. But certainly to tell him to turn on the air conditioning, even to hint to Shalom Adair Tzibu, based on the fact that I'm sitting here anyway, clearly you won't be able to use the same approach to permit that. So says the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it will not be permitted at all. So, interestingly, we see that it would appear from this Rosh Hashanah that he was holding the same approach as Rav Neuvert. Because if he had like Rav Shlomo Zalman and the same from Mo'ara Shabbos, he wouldn't have to say that one is not allowed to hint to the Goy Shalom Adair Tzibu to turn on the air conditioning because it's a new action. He could have said something different entirely. He could say, he should have said, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that only in the case of the candle to remove the soot are you allowed to hint to the Goy Shalom Adair Tzibu, because it's not really a malacha, it's only a chumrah ba'alma. But to ask him to light another candle, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is for sure forbidden. If you're not allowed to let him do it even of his own accord and you have to protest, then you're certainly not allowed to hint to him to do a proper malacha and light another candle. If he does go ahead and light another candle, but you're allowed to use it because there's already one candle, but you're certainly not allowed to hint to him to do such a malacha according to Moshe Zalman. If that were the case, then Moshe could have said simply, you can't compare the case of the air conditioning against the candle because the candle is just removing the soot, whereas to turn on the air conditioning is a proper malacha, and that for sure would be forbidden. But Moshe doesn't say that. But Moshe says it's forbidden for a different reason. It's not comparable to the candle, because in the case of the candle, there was already a candle burning and he's merely improving it. Whereas in this case, there was no air conditioning at all and he's going to put it on. So it would appear that Moshe possibly took the same approach as Rav Neuvert. So in other words, just to sum up what we've been learning today, Amir al-Akum is forbidden to ask a goy to do a malacha for you. It's even forbidden to ask a goy to do a Issa Drabonon for you on Shabbos as well. There are certain hetayim, for this would say chreliyat mutter even to do ask a goy to do a malacha deraisa, for various other reasons such as hesed godol or mitzvah. It's mutter to ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanon, but not a malacha d'raisa. Also, for Shabbat Balechaim and Kavod HaBriyos, Shabbat Balechaim and Kavod HaBriyos, it's mutter to ask a goy to do a issa d'rabbanon. However, it's forbidden to even hint to a goy to do a malacha. However, we found that rare circumstances where it's mutter to hint to a goy to do a malacha for you. And those are, in the case of a deleka, in the case of a fire, it's mutter to say to a goy, kola mechaba ein mafsid, and any other such situation, you're allowed to hint for him to do a malacha. Also, you're allowed to hint for a goy to take shalom adair tzibu, to remove the soot from a wick, according to some poskim, because it's not really a malacha, it's only a chumrah, but according to Shmuel Shabbos Kilchosa, even if it's a proper malacha, as long as he's only adding to the situation, you had a light little red and he's adding another one, it would be permitted to do so. Otherwise, if not for these hetayim, everyone agrees it's forbidden to even hint to a goy to do a malacha. And not only that, But even if a goy does a melacha of his own accord, you're mechuyav to protest and insist that he not do the melacha for you. In the event that he has gone ahead and done the melacha, if you instructed him to do the melacha and there was no hesed to do it, it's forbidden under any circumstances to have benefit from this melacha. If, however, you didn't instruct him to do it, he did it of his own accord, then usually you're not allowed to have any benefit from the melacha, even though you didn't ask him to do it, he did it of his own accord. Unless either the guy did it for himself as well, he turned on the light to benefit from himself, or alternatively, you're stuck in your house, and the only way to not derive benefit from the melacha would be to have to leave your own house, and that you're not mechuyav to do. Or alternatively, if there was already a candle lit or a light lit, and you added to the light, even if you did a proper melacha, as long as you didn't instruct him to do it, you would be permitted to benefit from this melacha under such circumstances.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.